We are joined by his nibs, Gary Bettman. Happy holidays, Mr. Bettman. How are you?
Thank you. The same to you. I'd love to get a new suit and have a deli sandwich with you, but you didn't invite me.
Well, you're on now. I mean, we like you jump in the private jet and come up here for a deli sandwich. You should taste these, though.
Give me a break.
Yeah,
you know, it sounds great. And more importantly, you know, you have a lot of future years to include me when the deli platter comes. I understand you're going to hang out for a while longer.
Yeah, I checked with my wife, and she said I'm not going to stop buying red bottom shoes, so I knew I had to keep working.
I'm sure she'll be thrilled to hear what you just said.
Here's the other thing, Gary.
Shannon knows I ain't kidding.
No, he's not kidding. But here's the other thing, Gary. We have great desserts. There are great desserts here.
Oh, well, you know my sweet tooth is famous.
Indeed.
But deli runs a good close second to my sweet tooth.
There you go.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. We haven't had you on for a while, so we got a lot to talk about. Let's start with the Seattle situation, which has, I know that you have denied this previously, but you have had Seattle in the back of your mind for a long, long time.
No.
Do you feel, you at the point? No, don't deny it. It's the holidays.
No. That's like saying that if somebody keeps pushing at you and keeps saying we want, but they've never had a building. So there's been a lot of attention because Seattle's been talking about a building since the basketball team left. And so it's been in the news. It's been constantly debated and covered. You know, we're aware of it. We keep getting asked questions, but it's not like we've been sitting here holding our breaths waiting for this to happen.
Well, I get that. But it is convenient. I mean, with the addition of Vegas last year, we want to talk about that. This now gives you another Western city, which is exactly what the league would want. It means you don't have to move anybody anymore. You're going to get to 32. You're going to have 16 on each side of the country. It all kind of fits now, doesn't it?
It may. The way you round it out is certainly reasonable. We haven't decided we're expanding. All we decided was when they asked us if they could submit an application, we said yes, and we would consider it. They asked if they could do a season ticket drive in conjunction with it. We said yes. But we still have to go through the hoops. And, you know, we're not going to expand if we do it all just to be symmetrical. If it works out, you're right. It fits very nicely, and the puzzle looks very good. But there are a lot of things we have to go through with the prospective applicant who has yet to file the application before we get to that point.
Do you have a timeline?
Having said that, no, it's their timeline because they've got to submit the application. We can't do anything yet until we can go through the hoops or have them go through the hoops so we can evaluate it. Yes, if it all comes together, does it look like there's a nice potential there? Does it look like they're going to redo Key Arena nicely? And does it look like, you know, the map will be terrific? All that potential is there, but let's not take it for granted is my only point.
Now, You're saying that because there are so many hurdles to cross still, Gary? I mean, because at the press conference you put out a number, $650 million.
Yes.
You invited one group to apply.
No. What happened was they asked if they could apply. Would we consider Seattle? And the board said yes. When they said to me, we'd like to apply, would you consider us? I said to them, if the board approves it, that's something that we'll let you go forward with.
Okay.
However, the price is going to be X. So let's not go through this exercise if at the end of the day you're not prepared to pay what I think the board will want as an expansion price.
Where do you think Houston is at? We heard a lot of rumblings about Houston a few months ago, Gary, and it's kind of gone a little quiet now. Give us a sense of where you think they are.
Houston is the fourth largest market of any kind, not just a hockey market, fourth largest market in the United States.
Right.
And it is a market that is interesting in terms of its position, be a good rival for Dallas. Les Alexander, the prior owner of the Houston Rockets, who controls the Toyota Center down there, never wanted a hockey team unless he owned it. He never wanted a tenant to be competitive with his basketball team, and he never really had a burning interest to buy a hockey team, at least at what market value was at the time, and the time being about a 20-year period. Tillman Fertitta, who now owns the Rockets, has announced that, you know, he is interested at some point in the possibility, perhaps, of bringing a hockey team to Houston, so the people of Houston will have another sports opportunity to follow. And I think they're, you know, looking around, thinking about it, but nobody has decided anything. They haven't put in an expansion application. I don't expect that they would. But, you know, it's a long life in a small world, so you never know what may happen down the road.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of answers to this question, but, you know, if Seattle comes in, that gets you to 32. That would be the maximum of any of the major professional sports leagues in North America, which doesn't mean it has to be the end of it. But would you be a lot less reluctant, or a lot more reluctant, pardon my French, a lot more reluctant to go to looking at 33 or even 34? Is 32 a kind of a number that you'd like to stick at for at least a while?
I would viscerally, I would think so. It's not, I've never been asked that question before, and I really haven't given it any thought. And I think lots of people would question whether or not it would make sense from a competitive and talent standpoint to have that many teams. But I must tell you, I've never given it a moment's thought. Having said that, I think people are absolutely amazed at the performance of the Vegas Golden Knights. So, I you know what, again, I haven't given it the least bit of thought. And so people are going to say, he didn't absolutely deny it, and therefore he must be thinking about it, and how could they have more than 32 teams? By the way, it may be that we should never have more than 32 teams, and so I think everybody should slow down. It's not anything that we have ever thought about, because, quite frankly, we're not at 32 yet. So, you know, to think about what it could be beyond 32, I think, is a huge stretch. And so, again, I've never given it a moment's thought, and it seems like a big number. And as I said, we're at 31, and we haven't even gotten to 32, so I'm not even thinking about 33 or 34.
Darn, I got to recall that tweet where you said you might go to 34. I don't know. I got to do that.
I never tweeted. I don't tweet. You know that.
No. Hey, so Gary, in many ways, with the Seattle, Vegas, Houston issue, the three burning issues for Canadians occur in three different cities. Two with teams that need new arenas, and one with a new arena that doesn't have a team. I mean, when you think of Quebec City, we think of Ottawa, who we all know needs to go downtown, and
Calgary.
Something has to happen in Calgary. So how do you talk to Canadian hockey fans who are, at this point, I mean, indulging themselves in the game at a greater level than ever before in the history of in the 100 years of the National Hockey League?
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you go back to the late 1999-2000 era, there was all this doom and gloom about the clubs in Canada and the survival of the game at the NHL level there. And you know, we paid a very stiff price, but we got a system that enabled that all of our teams, particularly including the Canadian teams, could be competitive no matter what happened to the Canadian dollar. So our franchises on a base level throughout North America are as strong, if not stronger, than they've ever been. The game is better on the ice than it's ever been. Our competitive balance is extraordinary. So, you know, there are always issues that you have to deal with on franchises. So it took us the better part of 15 years to finally get a plan for the Islanders to get a new building. The Senators do need a new building downtown, and that's something that has to get worked out. The Flames do need a new building, and that's something, you know, that's a concern that has to get focused on. And yes, Quebec City has a building, but, you know, nobody's moving right now. We're not expanding east, going back to Bob's point about symmetry and the pieces of the puzzle and the calendar. So, you know, these are things that get focused on over time and ultimately have to get dealt with. But, you know, you don't run off and these things don't happen, you know, like in the blink of an eye. And so we're going to focus very hard on what can be done in Ottawa. Calgary has been very frustrating because, you know, the Flames have concluded they can't make a building deal in Calgary. And so they'll hang out and, you know, hang on as long as they can. And we'll just have to deal with those things as they come up. None of them, as we stand here today, focuses on an immediate solution. But, you know, lots of things we've worked on take time.
But you and I have talked about this before. You were a part of bridging the gap between Daryl Cates and Mayor Mandel at the time in Edmonton. How do you bridge the gap between Murray Edwards and Mayor Nenshi, or is it even possible?
I think there's no bridge to build over this gap for a whole host of reasons, and the dynamics of the two cities are completely different. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of the reason that the Flames have stopped pursuing a new building in Calgary is they don't see any prospect of making a deal for a new building on terms that make sense. And based on my experience up there, I understand why they've taken that position.
That's pretty gloomy.
It's been gloomy.
Well, let me change the gear a little bit.
It is supposed to be the Christmas season.
Yeah, ho, ho, ho.
You asked the question.
No, I know. My point is that we all believe in Calgary as a hockey city. I mean, I think Calgary is a world-class hockey city.
Absolutely a world-class hockey city, great fans, but no current ability to build a new arena. And you can have the world's best fans, you can have the world's best team, you could be in the world's best city, but if you don't have an adequate arena, you go through a very, very difficult time. And by the way, you can have the world's best owners. And I think the Flames owners are as good, if not better, than owners in any teams in any league. I mean, starting with Murray Edwards. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, a team, in order to be competitive for the long term, in order to survive for the long term, has to have the right facility to play in. Listen, we've talked for years about all the trials and tribulations of the Islanders, right? And this is in New York City, the largest city in North America. And it's a very difficult, uncomfortable situation to be in. And by the way, the Calgary Flames fans over the long term are not going to stand for a team that isn't competitive.
With Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner. So last week, the Ottawa Senators hosted one of those outdoor games, and our mutual friend Eugene Melnyk, the owner of the Senators, went off on the arena situation and the prospects of the immediate and long-term future in Ottawa. The only thing that chagrined me about it is he usually does that on this program, and he chose other media outlets in which to do it, which kind of ticked me off, but that's... I love him anyway. So, and yet...
So you're telling me you're upset that somebody baited him as well as you can.
Yeah. Well,
almost as well, Gary.
It was worse than that, actually, because he was supposed to be on with us the day before, and he pulled the plug on that interview. But that's neither hither nor yon. I'll get even with him down the road. So the issue for me in terms of having you on is... Was that the right moment, that stage, in your opinion, to voice his opinions on the arena situation?
If you're asking me if I was happy about the swirl of attention that those comments got while we were basically closing out our centennial celebration, the answer is no. We didn't know about it in advance. Bill Daly and I were dealing with the media on Saturday in response to it. I do think what what it is, how what he said was portrayed was blown out of proportion, because he never said, I'm moving. What he said was, you know, I need a new building, and for the long term, if things got bad, I'll have to deal with it. But that was more of a long-term forecast. I think it was blown out of proportion, but I also think it would have been better had it not been said at all in the environment that we were trying to create, which was a celebration.
Right.
Understood. Maybe the last point, but I don't know. John may have something else. I was in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago and went to my first Golden Knights game. Our friend George McPhee hooked me up, and I spent some time with George there. We talked about a whole lot of things. It is a spectacular building. The environment, it may be second to none. It reminded me very much of my days of living in Vegas and going to UNLV Rebels basketball games back in the Jerry Tarkanian era when they were winning national championships and things. Just an electric environment. And as important is the extraordinary success on the ice that this team has had. Do you think that will influence what happens the next time expansion comes around? The fact that you guys gave these guys more than just a bare bone?
Well, the decision that the board made, the issue that was focused on, was we didn't want a team to come in that would languish competitively, because, and we've seen it, and fortunately our teams over time have overcome it, but if you come in and you're not competitive and you're a new fan base, you really don't get to experience how exciting and how entertaining NHL hockey is. And so the initial enthusiasm wears off, and then you got to go through a rebuilding process, right. And then the team gets competitive, and they come back. We wanted a team to be competitive. But I also think, in addition to the fact they got a deeper draft than we've ever done, there was something extraordinary at play here. One, and I suppose you have the first element that I'm about to describe in every expansion, and that is you have a group of players who feel they have something to prove because they weren't protected by their teams.
Sure.
Two, the fact that this team started in the wake of a horrific tragedy in Las Vegas with the shootings, and here were players who had just come to their new home in their community, and as hockey players do, because they're so terrific, they went right out to be a part of the community. They went with first responders. They went to hospitals. They were part of bringing the city of Las Vegas together with it, not just, you know, as the first professional sports team that the team that the city would have and could identify with, but this was part of them reaching out and being part of the healing and the unification. And if you were there opening night, as I was, it was an extraordinarily emotional time as the home team, the visiting team, first responders all came out together. The 58-second moment of silence on the video board, the notion of Vegas strong. This is a team that has bonded with its community faster than I've ever seen in my almost 40 years in professional sport.
I agree.
And I have a sense that they're playing for something greater than you normally play for, and that's being a part and making the city feel a part of this great healing that had to occur after a horrific tragedy.
I don't have any statistics.
And by the way, And I think George McPhee did a great job of putting the pieces together.
Yeah,
so
no
when
kidding.
You add it all up, mm-hmm. you're seeing an incredible dynamic here.
Okay, so the league has now finished its 100th year. We're within 8 days of doing that. What's the toughest chore for you in the next 100 years?
Well, what we want to continue to do is keep the game strong. We want to keep it competitive and entertaining. We want to continue to have and encourage the development of world-class players. We want to continue to grow the game at all levels for our teams to be part of their communities. We have great opportunities in terms of technology, whether it's distribution on television or other ways, other platforms, doing things that bring people closer to the game using technology, whether it's player or puck tracking or things that will be invented that haven't been invented yet. It's expanding our reach worldwide, so more and more people get to enjoy and play the game. But first and foremost, the game has to be strong in North America. Canada and U.S. are the heart and soul of this game, and no matter what we do worldwide, this is where it's going to matter for us most. But it doesn't mean that we don't have an opportunity to continue to grow the game and to touch our fans in more ways, because ultimately this game survives, thrives, you know, gets bigger because of the way we connect with our fans, and I believe we have the best fans in all of sports.
Lots more things to talk about, but we'll save those for our next opportunity to chat with you. We thank you for this, as always. And again, happy holidays to you and your family and everybody at the NHL. And we look forward to seeing you not too long, far down the road. Thank you, Mr. Bettman.
Well, thank you, and all the best to you and yours and all of your listeners. We're having a great season, and it's a lot of fun, and this is a great time of year to enjoy it all.
The Commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman.